It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
From KMOX Sports.
Okay, boys, here we go.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Here we go.
Now, Matt Pauly on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, man, let's get going here.
Here we go. Let's go.
It's Wednesday, and for the first time this week, I'm able to welcome you into a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. No show on Monday due to Monday Night Football. No show yesterday due to election coverage, but we are back. We are here. We are with you till 8 o'clock this evening, and we've got quite the program that's going to be coming up tonight. Our guests include Bernie Miklas in about 10 minutes. Derek Gould will join us at 6:35, and then next hour, our good friend Alex Gold from our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City will talk with us about Amendment 2 passing by the slimmest of margins yesterday as sports gambling is set to come to the state of Missouri. All right, so let's go through kind of our headlines coming into this show, because we really do have a bunch of things that I want to get into over these first couple hours. The biggest story, and I'd be very interested to get your comments on this. Might be able to open up the phones a little bit later in the program on this, but if you want to get your voice heard, you can certainly text in or tweet in. If you text in, it's 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, or if you tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. Clearly the biggest story in St. Louis sports that broke within the last couple hours from the general manager meetings down in San Antonio. The Cardinals have a new first baseman. But he's been around for a while. It's Wilson Contreras. The Cardinals and John Mozeliak announcing to the assembled media who's covering the GM meetings that they have made the decision to move Wilson Contreras from behind the plate and instead put him at first base, where he will become the club's everyday first baseman. And all indications are that his time as a catcher, at least as long as he is with the Cardinals, his time as a catcher has come to an end. John Mozeliak said that they have already had conversations because, look, when this news first came out, there was already some conspiracy theorist out there. And I don't say that like in a negative fashion, but when you hear something, you're trying to figure out what's going on behind it. There were some people who were out there who were floating the idea, and I think it was a legitimate idea to float out there, that maybe the Cardinals weren't getting a buy-in from Contreras on being willing to move via trade, so they're putting him in a position that he didn't really want to play. But that's not it. That's not the case at all. Based off what John Mozeliak said, that Contreras is very comfortable to moving into a role where he is a first baseman DH and where he's going to be able to hopefully stay healthy, because being healthy has not been his forte here in his time with the Cardinals. And they've got a couple of young guys in Pedro Páez and Ivan Herrera who are both major league ready. We've talked a lot on this show about maybe giving Ivan Herrera a first baseman's mitt. Well, no, they give it to Wilson Contreras instead. And not only do they give him the mitt, they say you're going to wear this thing pretty much every day. So I like the move, and I will dive into why I like the move later on. I also think that this is essentially the end of Nolan Arenado as a Cardinal. When we got into this offseason, I thought 1 to 2 of the big three with the big contracts between Arenado, Contreras, and Gray, I thought 1 or 2 of those guys would get moved. Now I don't think Contreras is going to get moved. I also don't think Sonny Gray is going to get moved in the offseason. That kind of leaves Nolan Arenado. And from a there's only so many spots on the field standpoint, if you want to give some opportunities to some other guys, you kind of need third base to be able to do it. So I think Nolan Arenado's time with the Cardinals is coming to an end, and they are going to move him at some point. So we'll get more into that. We'll get into the Amendment 2 stuff, sports gambling passing in the state of Missouri by the thinnest of margins. The PAC, the Political Action Committee that was most against it, has already come out and said that they are not going to be pushing for a recount. So it's going to pass. It's good. And we're going to have sports gambling here in the state of Missouri before we know it. I'm not overly interested. And again, we'll have Alex Gold on next hour at 7:20, and we'll get through kind of some of the logistical type things on sports gambling coming to Missouri. I know that's important to some. That's not the most important thing to me on this. The most important thing to me on this is the impact it's going to have on the team, specifically the Cardinals. And I talked about this today with Tom Ackerman when we did the Gas House Gang, which is always available via social media and podcast. I think that sports gambling being approved in Missouri, it impacts the Cardinals in many ways from a revenue stream standpoint. But I even think it impacts things, or it could potentially impact things, from a TV standpoint. And I'll explain all of that coming up later on this hour, probably next hour when we get into that. Derek Gould's going to join us later on this hour, as I mentioned. So we'll go through all the Wilson Contreras stuff with him. And we'll talk some Blues hockey as well. The Blues had a really scary situation last night with Dylan Holloway as he was hit in the neck by a puck. It got him right on a nerve, which is not good, and they stretchered him out. They ended the period early, but it seems like he's going to be okay. He did not practice today, but he was at the practice facility, so we'll touch on all that coming up later on in the program as well. As always, if you want to join us, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. You tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. When we come back, we'll get Bernie Miklas' thoughts on Wilson Contreras becoming a full-time first baseman. We'll also get his thoughts on sports gambling being approved and what happened with the Blues and a few other things as well. Bernie's got his weekly conversation with us here on Sports Open Line. It's on the way next right here on KMOX.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Bernie Miklas on KMOX is presented by Celica Heating and Cooling.
It is one of my favorite times of the week when I get to talk with Bernie Miklas for 15, 20 minutes or so. You know, we'll do this for a little bit longer tomorrow. We've got the Gas House Gang every day at noon on all the KMOX social media channels. All four of us, Tom Ackerman, Kevin Wheeler, myself, and Bernie, are on Mondays. And then we pair up the other 4 days of the week. And tomorrow it's going to be me and Bernie. I'm looking forward to that. But before we get to that, we got to get to this. Hey, Bernie, how are you?
I'm doing good, Matt. Yeah, when you and I got a little doubleheader action. Looking forward to tomorrow already. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm sure we will continue this conversation tomorrow, but let's get to it. The news of the moment is that the Cardinals say Wilson Contreras is going to become a first baseman. He's going to retire the catcher's mitt, and he's essentially going to be the frontline first baseman for the Cardinals, replacing Paul Goldschmidt. What's your initial reaction to the news?
It's positive. There's a couple things. First of all, you know, the Cardinals, in effect, remain committed to Wilson Contreras. And what I like about it is he remains fully committed to them. And he told the team explicitly that he really wanted to stay with the Cardinals. He wanted to help them get through this retooling time or whatever we're calling it. And he feels like he wants to make good on this contract that the Cardinals gave him. You know, there's been some fussing about, well, you move him to first base, he's not as valuable because part of his value was, you know, the fact that he was such a good hitting catcher and they're hard to find. And I would just say, no. Let's pipe down on that a little bit. Listen, Wilson Contreras, among right-handed hitters in the major leagues, over the last 2 years, minimum of about 800 plate appearances. He was 33% above average, above league average offensively, based on weighted runs created plus. 33% above league average offensively, which was the 10th best right-handed hitter in baseball. And all his other stats were in line too. He also draws a ton of walks, which the Cardinals need more of. You're providing good value for your salary if you can hit like that. You know, if this guy's not like kind of like, well, he's an above average hitter. Yeah, he's pretty good. No, he's an outstanding hitter, and it makes all the sense in the world to want him to get as many games as possible. That's not going to happen behind the plate. It will happen in a first base DH role.
Your friend of mine, Kevin Wheeler, ran these numbers, and he posted them earlier today on Twitter. The only first baseman that have a higher WRC plus than Wilson Contreras from 2022 to 2024, so the last three seasons, are Freddie Freeman, Bryce Harper, Yandy Diaz, and Vlad Guerrero. He and Matt Olson are tied.
Yeah, and so that bat will travel wherever you put him, and I'm sure there's going to be whatever the pushback will be. I saw Buster Olney, who's a friend of mine, and have great respect for him. He was just like basically trashing the whole idea that they even signed him. And I'm not sure what I'd like to reach out to Buster and talk to him because I think he's missing a couple things. He's acting like this thing's been a big bust all the way around, and it really hasn't. This guy is hit extremely well in his two seasons. And oh, by the way, he worked his tail off last offseason to become a better catcher. And the StatCast stuff bears it out. He was improved behind the plate this past season, and hard work made it possible. So that's part one. I like that a lot. I'm glad he wants to be a Cardinal because I see him as a team leader. I think he'll really, really move into that role. The other thing is, of course, and I'll throw it back to you, but the idea that Ivan Herrera, I think in particular, is going to get a chance to play and play and play a lot is really good because he is another formidable hitter. And the more he plays, the more formidable he'll become.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also get frustrated by the moving of the goalpost. We can go back to the day that Wilson Contreras is signed, Bernie, and it wasn't just me on this show. It was a lot of people who cover baseball who said, well, you know what? Wilson's going to spend a couple, 2-3 years as the Cardinals catcher, and then they've got a lot of great catchers coming up, and there's probably just going to be a point where it makes sense for him to go ahead to move to a first base DH role. We were saying that the day he became a Cardinal. Maybe it's happening a year earlier than we thought, but this should not shock anybody.
No, well, no. And in fact, when the Cardinals did this, I remember speaking with John Mozeliak, and he even said, listen, we believe, you know, he'll do a fine job for us behind the plate. But like you said, Matt, he said, but down the road, you know, we can see him as our DH. So there's an easy transfer and we keep his bat in the lineup. Like you said, they might be moving that up a year. But the point is, you know, his bat can't help you if he's hurt and he's getting banged up behind the plate. This is a way to get as many at bats from him as you can. And it's also a way to make yourself better offensively by getting Ivan Herrera's bat in the lineup, which is something based on my interaction with fans, they all seem to have been calling for quite a while. And I'm not trying to diminish Pedro Pages because he did a good job for them, but I think every single one of us would agree that Herrera has far more offensive upside. He's younger, he's got more talent, and he also, if you go by StatCast, Herrera actually took steps forward defensively this past season. So I like it because they have to have a better offense, and I think they're managing to do this by moving Contreras to first base, because if they had two slap hitting catchers waiting, but no, they have a really good hitting young catcher, and Jimmy Crooks will be knocking on the door. He's their top catching prospect, And he just brutalizes right-handed pitching. He's a left-handed bat. He spent the entire 24 season at Double-A and just had tremendous numbers against right-handed pitching. He'll be at Triple-A Memphis, which means he will be metaphorically knocking on the door to St. Louis. So you can't have, you know, 15 catchers or whatever, you know. So you got to move one of them. And if Contreras was all up for this and fired up about it, then this is a good thing to do.
I do think it's going to be an interesting narrative to watch on the playing time split between Páez and Herrera, because you're right, Herrera's bat certainly plays at the major league level. We also know that the Cardinals can get a little wrapped up in things sometimes, especially from a yep. defensive standpoint. And when they had the opportunity to go with either Páez or Herrera this year, they went with Páez. That's the guy they're comfortable with defensively, and I don't know if anything's going to immediately change that.
Well, I tell you what, I'll be raising some cane if, listen, Páez is going to play a lot anyway. I mean, let's not act like if Herrera is your number one catcher, that means you'll see the number two catcher. In this case, particularly, you'll see him once every 7 days or whatever. Páez is going to play. But if we're talking about how this should be allocated, in my opinion, it's a strong opinion. Herrera, this is the whole point. First of all, I'm backing up a little bit before I go ahead. You know, what have we all been talking about? What have the Cardinals all been talking about? They've been talking about, well, we're taking a step back a little bit. We really want to give the young guys opportunities. You know, we want to find out about them. We want to give them a chance to play and, you know, work on their flaws and get better and get better and get better. Okay, I'm on board with that, as everybody knows. But if you're not going to, if you're not going to play Ivan Herrera extensively behind the plate, then why is this considered a retooling year? This is exactly why you're having this type of situation on your team and why you have declared as such to your fans. Ivan Herrera is a perfect example of what this season should be about.
It's another move, and I think it's safe to say, like this, if there was any chance that Nolan Arenado was going to stay a Cardinal, that goes away with this move, right?
I haven't thought about that. When you talk to me about that, I want to hear your opinion.
Because all of a sudden you got to use third base for your other guys. If when you had when you had first base kind of in the mix for that group of guys, Burleson, Baker, Herrera, Gorman, Donovan, Sejacy, like those guys
right.
were going to handle first, DH, second, and third. If you take first out of the situation, then all of a sudden you got all those guys and you got one less position.
Well, that's right. And I think, in fact, I was talking about this with Kevin Wheeler on the Dave Glover show this afternoon. I really do think it's in everybody's best interest to trade Arenado, not because he's an awful guy or an awful player. It's just for you, what you just laid out. You want to take a look at some guys at third base. Gorman in particular intrigues me. You know, he's blocking that move. And the fact is, look, he's going to be 34 in the spring, and he's in decline offensively and to an extent defensively. And the contract is not onerous, but the contract is hefty. And if there is trade interest in him, I think they would do well to move him, even if it means eating some of that contract. But again, that's easy for me to say. I can't gauge what the trade interest is, and I can't tell you how the Cardinals feel about eating a big part of that contract.
Last thing for you, Bernie, and I don't even know what this question is, but I guess just sports gambling gets approved in Missouri. You've lived here for a very, very long time. It's taken a little bit since it first became something that states could even start approving. I guess there's still some votes out, and there's still actually a path that maybe it doesn't, but basically everybody's saying that this thing is good to go. What are your thoughts on the fact that we will have sports gambling legal here?
Well, I think it's overdue. And, you know, I say this as just someone who lives in the state for a long time. But, you know, you have 8 border states that have legalized gambling in terms of sports book type thing. And so that money that could be staying in Missouri is going elsewhere. And the other thing is, and pardon me for sounding dramatic, but as an American citizen, I think I should be allowed in the privacy of my own home to get out of an app on my phone and put $20 on a football game. You know, I mean, we all this talk about freedom and individual rights and all this. Well, why would anybody want to prevent me from doing that with the money that I earn and the money that I make? It seems really strange to me that people are opposed to this when gambling is everywhere in our state, and it's state run gambling in a lot of cases. So it's not like this is some territory that's never had gambling. Oh, we can't take that step. That step was taken a long, long time ago. So let's not be hypocrites about this.
Bernie Miklas, you can check out the Bernie Show on YouTube. He just posted a video about the move to first base for Wilson Contreras. Goes deep on it for about 35 minutes. Head to YouTube and go to the Bernie Show. Also a part of the Gas House Gang, which is available via the KMOX socials. Bernie, before we let you go, who is helping you come on today?
As always, Matt, it's our friends at Saliga Heating and Cooling, an independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. We've been clients for about 16 years. But my gosh, Saliga Heating and Cooling, right there on the same building on Gravoy where it all started in South City, they've been taking care of St. Louis family since 1927. And from our experience, I am very happy and I am very much at peace to tell you they're the best because of their honesty, their integrity, their prompt service, their knowledge, their professionalism, the classiness they have when they come into your home. They never try to upsell you. They never try to talk you into something that you probably don't need. And in our case, they've actually looked for ways to save us money by making minor repairs that'll keep everything in line for a few more years. And then you can invest in maybe a whole new piece of that American Standard equipment later on. I would also, and this, of course, they do residential work, commercial work, all makes and models, repairs, updates. They install that new American Standard equipment if you need it. And they have a maintenance program that you should look into. We've been members of it for several years now, and it gives you peace of mind before the cold weather and before the hot weather that your equipment is working just fine. If you want to find out a lot more about Saliga Heating and Cooling, go to their site. And it's got the phone number there, too. But you go to SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com. That's SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com. And again, the phone number is there for you. Saliga Heating and Cooling.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
The big news of the day coming out of the baseball GM meetings, where we learned earlier that the Cardinals plan to move Wilson Contreras full-time to first base, or first base DH, but full-time in terms of his defensive positioning. Nobody better to talk about that than somebody who is down at the GM meetings. He is the Cardinals' lead baseball writer for the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. He is our friend Derek Gould. Derek, thanks for taking some time with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Matt. Always good to chat with you.
Were you surprised by the news that the Cardinals came out today that Contreras is, it's not just that he's moving over to first base, but it's exclusive. He's not going to be catching at all moving forward.
You know, maybe the definitiveness of it, how early it was, it's a bit of a shift, though. Probably the natural outcome of the conversation that's like started maybe a week and a half ago, right? Like Jimmy Crooks is going to be the starting catcher at AAA, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know that. The Cardinals have made that clear. They've talked about it internally, and that meant that they were going to carry three catchers in the majors, right? That either sets up them to do, one of two things, right? Either have those three catchers and find a way to fit them all in there, or trade one of them. And the Cardinals are going to, they'll probably still get phone calls on Herrera from interested teams. And, but does anything wow them? Clearly not yet, or they don't expect that to. And then in talks with Contreras, he's got a no trade clause. So if he wanted to up and go elsewhere, he could say as much. And the Cardinals have wanted to be receptive to that for these veteran players who signed with them, thinking that, every year is going to be a run for a World Series. But Wilson expressed an interest in staying with St. Louis, which he has before, and then stayed with, with what he said to the Cardinals. So it became a question of, all right, well, if you're going to stay, where are you going to play? And the medical staff thought, well, it's best for, and Wilson, has signed on to this to play first base or DH. That solves two things for the Cardinals. One, it clears up two spots at catcher for the youth, which is their focus at a lot of positions this year. And then, of course, gives them a first baseman and satisfies Wilson's wish to remain with the Cardinals.
At the end of the season, Wilson made some comments that certainly made some headlines when he, I wouldn't say he called the Cardinals front office out, but he certainly indicated that he'd like to see them do more just based off social media reaction. And you should never judge anything off social media reaction. But
absolutely judge everything off of, if there's anything that we can learn from this week here, is completely judge everything off of, no, judge nothing. Judge Judge nothing. Well, look at it through a very, very, very scrutinized eye.
And that's where you come in. How do those two things kind of reconcile together? His comments at the end of the season and his very strong desire to remain a Cardinal, even in a year where they may take a step back.
Yeah, I think that messaging is developing a little bit, right? Like, I mean, I'll just be honest with you. I think, you know, some of the things, and I'm going to write about this for the Post-Dispatch, so I'm not trying to be coy, but it was definitely a question that I asked of Mo today is, all right, you have these personal conversations with these players, right? The four guys who have no trade, particularly the three guys that are on everybody's mind, which is Sonny Gray, Nolan Arenado, and Wilson Contreras. You know, what are you telling them? And I've had more than a few people tell me here at these meetings that, you know, the way the Cardinals look is somewhat like what the Brewers look like last year, or the Mets look like last year. And, you know, they started the offseason, it looks like, all right, well, they're going to take a step back. They're going to not be really pushing forward. And at the same time, the Cardinals look like a team that was really pushing forward, right? Nearly spending $100 million on three pitchers and doing it fast and answering those questions. Well, how'd the division end up? You know, the Brewers, who traded their best pitcher and, you know, let other guys go, won handily. And so, you know, at these GM meetings, there's been a lot of talk about, like, you know, the Cardinals roster is going to look different, familiar names, but the results might be better. And is that possible? And so I did ask Mo about that. Like, what kind of messaging are you giving these guys about, you know, 2025? And, you know, are you content with 70 wins, but, you know, better farm system? Or would you like to see this play out a little bit? And if these guys play well, then outfit them with a chance to, to contend. And I think the Cardinals don't really have an answer for that yet, but that messaging is starting to develop for guys like Sonny Gray, like Wilson Contreras, like Nolan Arenado. And is it what they want to hear? Well, Nolan, you know, I mean, we'll find out. For right now, Contreras wanted to stay. Sonny Gray has expressed an interest in staying, intrigued at least by the direction they're going. So we'll see. But I think the question you asked is a great one, and I think over time we're going to see that develop. We don't know today. What we do know is that they dropped a lot of cost, a lot of salary, and that was essential. And now they can – that was essential to them. I'm not saying that was their opinion that it was essential. And now they can start looking at, okay, well, how do you put together a team and what does that look like?
All right. So when over and over, we've heard John Mozeliak this offseason talk about the opportunities for young players. And this is connected to that. Two young catchers are going to get an opportunity, but there's other spots on the infield, and you've got a Thomas Tejasi, you've got a Lucan Baker, you've got there's a bunch of guys, young players. You still hope that Nolan Gorman's going to take a step forward. Does all this probably lead to Nolan Arenado being the guy that isn't on this team next year?
I mean, that's a possibility, right? But it takes three things to make that happen, and you're also talking about one of the more complex contracts already in Major League Baseball, because just how many teams are going to be paying his salary if he's traded, right? The answer is three, right, I think?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Cardinals are going to have to cover some. Cardinals have deferred money. You know, his deal is still appealing, you know, especially with the market and the way it is. So we'll see. But, you know, it takes the Cardinals finding an offer that intrigues them that they can pull off with the approval of both MLB and the union, and then also the approval of Nolan Arenado. So you have those three steps that you have to kind of tie together or splice together that can be tricky. But, I mean, you're like, the way you presented it is really good, because if he's not part of this team, say they can find the spot that he wants to go, right? And he's not part of this team, then that's another opening in the infield for them to use. Who gets that position? Not quite sure. Brendan Donovan sure is going to be somewhere in the infield, right? That much is clear. So where does Gorman and JC fit? And how does that team look? I mean, I think that goes back to your previous question, or that we were kind of talking about, is how good could they be? You know, in that infield, you know, could look could look really strong, or it could look really young and go through some real big growing pains.
Yeah, I keep saying this, and I don't feel like people listen to me. Like, I don't think you have to squint that hard to see a scenario where the team is kind of similar to what they were this past year, and when you're going for it, that's not good. But if it's a reset year, I think you can kind of look at that level of success differently.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, I'm being very candid with you and your listeners that I'm still kind of trying to wrap my head around that, because the Cardinals brand, for as long as I've covered them, you know, which now, what, more than two decades, has been to go for it and to chase a way to improve. Now, that's led to some problems, clearly, because they haven't had the patience with some of the young players that have thrived elsewhere with playing time. And, you know, I think you and I have talked about it, and I've written about it and spoke with Mo again about it, about that opportunity gap. And they are trying to close it this year, after years of saying that's just the nature of being a Cardinal. So I'm real intrigued by that. So I think, you know, and so I'm trying to wrap my head around exactly what you're talking about. Like, what measure do you look at the 2025 Cardinals from? I know what measure the Cardinals want people to look at them from, and are even trying to share that with the team as well, is like, let's lower the expectations a little bit, but not settle. And how do you sell that to fans too? Which they just really need to, I think they want to see if a really good team develops from lower expectations, as opposed to setting high expectations and over the last few years continually not meeting them. So it'll be a different team in that way, even though a lot of the players will seem familiar. And, you know, not holding them to the historic brand that they've had, I'm slow to do that, and I acknowledge that.
I think that's fair. And you know what? I bet a lot of my listeners are very much like-minded with you on that and probably appreciate those words coming out of your mouth. Derek, I know it's busy at the GM meetings. Thank you so much. We encourage everybody to read you in the Post-Dispatch online at STL today. There is no better team of baseball writers to do a better job than the team at Post-Dispatch, and you lead the way on that. So hopefully everybody is subscribed. Enjoy the rest of the meetings, and hope to see you soon.
Yeah, they're almost done, right? It seems like they just started, and they're almost done. And then in a few weeks, we'll be back here in Texas for winter meetings.
Well, we'll for sure see you there.
Yeah, look forward to it, Matt. Thank you very much for having me.
You bet. That's Derek Gould from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. Again, you know who he is, and he's as good as they come when it comes to baseball writers. We'll take one more break. We got a couple responses from some of what we've said. We'll go through that a little bit and try to put a bit of a bow, at least for the moment, on the Wilson Contreras conversation before we jump into a couple other things that's coming up next hour. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
I'll tell you what, our two big topics today are getting a ton of reaction via the text line. If you want to get in here, you can text at 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can also tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. After the 7 o'clock news, we're going to go into the sports gambling side of things with that seemingly being approved. Mark Maxwell, who is does a great job as a reporter over at Channel 5, he's been tweeting out some stuff that there are still some results coming in, and this is not 100% locked in quite yet, despite the reporting out there. So we'll get into that. We'll get into the implications of the Cardinals with sports betting. I actually think it connects to the TV situation, so I'll get into that coming up after the 7 o'clock news. Want to go through some of the response, though, to Wilson Contreras going over to first base. From 314 says, Wilson was your best catcher. You should have kept him catching and make Herrera a first baseman. I think the big thing here is that there was very little confidence that Contreras was going to be able to stay healthy playing as a catcher. That's just when, and I should have probably talked to Derek Gould a little bit more about this, but there were so many things to get into, and we were limited a little bit by time. Contreras played 84 games this past season, and not all of them were as a catcher. He was obviously injured a lot. When you listen to what John Mozeliak had to say to reporters today, indications to me feel like there was a belief through the training staff, the doctors, and everybody that they were not going to be able to keep Contreras healthy as long as he was a catcher. So you move him over to first base. He is still a very plus offensive player at first base. He's one of your, you know, four, five, six best offensive hitting first basemen by some measures. So you put him over there. I think if the team felt like he could stay healthy and they could do something where he's playing 5-6 days a week, 3-4 days catching, and a couple days as the DH, I think they do that. But I don't believe that they think that Contreras was going to be able to stay healthy catching. So they move him over to first base. They keep his bat in the lineup on an everyday basis. It is the best bat that the team has right now. And bluntly, his bat is a lot more valuable than who he is defensively. And that's not a shot at his defense. He got much, much better defensively. He was a very respectable defensive catcher this past year. But that bat needs to be in the lineup on an everyday basis. Text message for another 3-4. Glad Wilson's still on the team, but better off at catcher. Same thing. Somebody saying no reason to trade Nolan Arenado. I still think they want to dump a little bit more payroll, and I think they still want to open up some more opportunities for some younger guys. You can open up those opportunities by making sure that third base is available. Look, there's going to be a lot of people that don't like the idea that maybe Nolan Gorman is your third baseman when he struggled so much this past year, but you still have to give Gorman every opportunity to take that step forward. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.